I'm sure most of us have heard the expression, silence is golden. Silence is golden. This morning I want to talk about silence and what it means. Most of us have experienced going up to someone and asking for something, and the person responding with silence. Meaning what? Whatever it was that you were asking for will not be forthcoming. Silence. We understand what silence means usually in the world. Classic example, you order a refrigerator from Sears and they you ask them to come and deliver it. And so when the delivery van pulls up, they get their card out and they bring the refrigerator into your home. And you're real glad about that because you were needing one. Well, they go back into the van and they bring out a dishwasher, bring it into the house, unload it, and you start wondering, am I getting forgetful? Did I order a dishwasher? They go back into the van and bring out a new range, bring it into the house and leave it. Well, then you're really confused, and so you ask them, I'm pretty sure I just ordered a refrigerator. And the people respond, the delivery boys or men respond, well, you did not say not to bring a dishwasher and a range, so we brought one anyway. Now, we know how silly that is in the world. That's not the way the world works. Silence has meaning. Silence has meaning. If you've been married very long, maybe your spouse has given you the silent treatment. And you know what silence means. Silence has significance. Silence has meaning. It has importance. Well, silence in religion is very important as well. I'm kind of a student of the Restoration Movement, especially in America. And one of the mottos, going all the way back a couple hundred years, was where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. And what a great motto it is, because it's based on Scripture. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. Because in that, it's emphasized that silence has meaning in the Bible. Silence has meaning in the Bible. There are so many examples in the Bible of where silence is important. And one that maybe has caused confusion, or one where you read it and you just can't figure out what was the point of this, is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and that's where I'd like for us to turn now. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and we're going to do a lot of reading from God's Word today, and I certainly don't apologize for reading from God's Word. First Chronicles chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. You will recognize fairly quickly the account that this particular text refers to. It says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Remember the background of where we are. David is now the leader of the entire nation of Israel. Saul, of course, is gone now. They had not conferred with the Ark of the Covenant for a long time. The Ark, of course, is where God, His presence was. You might say He spoke from between the cherubim on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. David said, it's a good thing that we go and get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the capital, the chief city of the nation of Israel. And so he says, this is what we need to do. We need to go get the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 4, then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Kirjath-Jearim is 8 to 10 miles west of Jerusalem. So the Ark of the Covenant is at most 10 miles from Jerusalem. So they're going to have to get the Ark, bring it 10 miles into Jerusalem. Now for us, that wouldn't be much of a big deal, would it? It's a much bigger deal for them. And David and all Israel went up to Baala, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where His name is proclaimed. So they carried the Ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. They were glad they were doing it. They were happy. They were joyful. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Oxen, of course, were pulling the cart that had the Ark of the Covenant on it. Uzzah was two of the men driving the cart. The oxen stumble, maybe over a rock in a hole. Ark of the Covenant starts to tilt or teeter. It looks like it's going to fall. Uzzah very naturally puts his hand out to stop it from falling off the cart. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. That has caused people throughout generations to question, was God fair? Was God just in doing that? Poor old Uzzah, all he did was put his hand out to steady the ark. That didn't seem like a big deal. They knew how important the Ark of the Covenant was. David, there's a parallel account in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David had sent over 30,000 men, was going to accompany the Ark of the Covenant that 8 to 10 miles back to Jerusalem. 30,000 men. This was important. They, you might say, surrounded the Ark. So what's going on? David didn't understand it. David was angry. He became angry with God. No doubt David knew Uzzah. Uzzah had no chance to repent, did he? It was done and over with, just like that, dead. David becomes angry. David just sits down and says, I'm not doing anything else. I am not taking the ark on any further. And it's no wonder people have questioned God. People, of course, question God all the time. Why did God do this? What was the reason behind it? God doesn't do things for no reason. He always has a reason for doing everything. Why did He do it? Was God just? Was He fair? Did God make a mistake? Did God react when He shouldn't have? The answer to this somewhat perplexing account lies in God's Word. And in particular, it lies in the silence of God's Word. The silence of God's Word. God, prior to this time, had already given explicit instructions on two things. How the ark was to be carried and by whom it was to be carried. First of all, let's go back a few pages in our Bible to Exodus chapter 25. And we'll read there beginning in verse 10. Exodus 25. Remember, the book of Exodus is primarily about God's people leaving, exiting Egypt, and heading to the promised land. Exodus chapter 25. Let's go back there. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. These are the instructions about the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 10, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold." There's the picture of it. It's kind of a rectangular chest, and each corner is a gold ring. "And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them." How was the ark to be moved? It was to be carried by the poles. And beginning in Exodus chapter 25, you go all the way through the Old Testament, you will never see, the Bible is silent, about any other way to carry the Ark of the Covenant. That was it. You were to carry it using the poles. Very explicit. Uzzah knew that. David knew that. All the priests and Levites knew that was the way the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried, and God gave no authority for any other way to carry that Ark. That was it. All right, well, who was to carry it then? First of all, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy, of course, is the retelling of the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8 says this. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to Him, and to bless in His name to this day." Who was to carry the Ark of the Covenant? The tribe of Levi. You go to the Old Testament, you look from that point on, and no other tribe is ever given permission, authority to carry the Ark. Tribe of Levi. But the Bible's even more explicit, because it's only a certain group of Levites who are allowed to carry the Ark. Levi, of course, had a number of sons, and of those sons, some were to do a certain part of the work in the tabernacle, in the temple. Others were to do other work. All right, let's look then at Numbers chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1. Begin reading there. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi." Kohath was one of Levi's sons. "By their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting." That's the first thing. He's taking a census of the sons of Kohath. Kohath was, again, one of the sons of Levi. Levi had several. Kohath was also the grandfather of Aaron and Moses. Very important. He was the grandfather of Aaron and Moses. So we skip down to verse 15. The rest of Numbers chapter 4 talks about all the articles in the tabernacle. The golden lampstand, the altar, the Ark of the Covenant. All of these things that Aaron and his sons are to put up and take down whenever the tabernacle is moved. Now, verse 15 says, "And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them." That included the Ark of the Covenant. "But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry." Not just anybody of the tribe of Levi could carry the ark. You had to be a descendant, a son of Kohath, who was a son of Levi. But there's more. Numbers chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. If we want the whole story, we have to read these verses too. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. And then we'll kind of get the whole picture as to why Uzzah died and why he died immediately without any chance of repentance. Numbers chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon." He was one of the sons of Levi, according to their service. "And 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, who was another son of Levi, according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none." Kohath did not receive a single cart, because theirs was the service of the holy things which they carried on their shoulders. Were they allowed to carry the Ark and the Covenant on a cart? Absolutely not. They were strictly forbidden to do so. And yet David and all the Levites and the priests and Uzzah and Ahio and those 30,000 men, all of them knew they were not supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant on a cart, and yet every one of them agreed to do so. No wonder God was angry. God should have been angry. Look at all that the people had done that were against his explicit instructions. First of all, the ark was not being carried on the shoulders of the sons of Kohath. That's the way it was supposed to be moved every time, no exception. The Bible is silent about any other way God approved to carry the Ark of the Covenant. There were none. That was it. They were not allowed to put it on a cart ever. Ever. It was never supposed to be on a cart. No wonder God was so angry. The parallel account in 2 Samuel chapter 6 says that Uzzah died because of his error. That's the New King James word. Other translations have the word irreverence. Uzzah was not paying reverence to what was written. Uzzah knew he wasn't even supposed to be driving the cart in the first place, because it wasn't supposed to be carried that way. Uzzah was not supposed to be driving the cart. Wasn't allowed. The only people that were supposed to carry that ark were those sons of Levi that were explicitly given instructions to do so. The whole account was against God's will from start to finish, because David, Uzzah and Ahio and all the rest of the men did not respect the silence of the Bible. They did not respect it. As a result, God was angry. Uzzah was immediately killed. What did the instructions say? They were not to touch any holy thing. The Ark of the Covenant was holy. They were not allowed to touch it. Uzzah knew it. Uzzah did not respect God's will, and as a result, he died immediately. David becomes angry, but David finally comes to realize that David, as the king, as the leader, really took responsibility. David knew about the cart, knew about the sons of Kohath, knew about how it was to be carried, so ultimately it was David's fault. He comes to realize that a little bit later. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, just a few pages on over, verses 1 and 2 of that chapter, David is starting to see some enlightenment. Verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 15, "David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, 'No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, For the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever. See the mistakes that David had made? That Uzzah had made? Then we skip down to verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12 of that same chapter. He said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult Him about the proper order." About the proper order. See, David came to realize that they did not move the ark like God had told them to move it. They didn't. The ones that were moving it weren't supposed to be moving it. And they weren't supposed to be moving it in the way they moved it. David said, we didn't consult God about how we were to do it. We didn't go back to these verses, which they had at this time. And look, David was basically saying, we just moved the ark the way we thought best and thought God would approve of it. And they were wrong. Well, we go down a little bit further. Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now they carry the ark just like it's supposed to be carried. And they were happy about it. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. Then down to verse 25. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Why did they do it with joy now? Because they were doing it like God instructed them to. Like God instructed them to. Silence is golden. You know, it's amazing how people can read that account of why Uzzah died and see how that doesn't apply today. How can they say that doesn't apply? The God of Israel is the same God we serve. He hasn't changed one bit. He's eternal. His characteristics, His attributes, how He responds, it's exactly the same. He's not different. He asks us to worship Him differently. He does things like that. But He's exactly the same God. You know, men today have a real problem with the silence of God's Word. They have a real problem with respecting the silence of God's Word. What do I mean? A few quick applications. The New Testament affirms that one must obey the gospel in order to be saved. By obeying the gospel, I mean that one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead. He must repent. That inward change that causes one to turn away from doing what he desires to turning toward God and following Jesus. By confessing that name before men and then being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The New Testament is silent about any other way to be saved. It's silent. So if men say there's another way to be saved, they're not respecting the silence of Scripture. Those ways must come from men, not from God. Number two, the New Testament affirms that Jesus built only one church. We talked about that a week or two ago from Matthew 16, 18. And that He is the Savior of only one body. Only one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Says He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Only one. Therefore, if we respect the silence of the Bible, we understand that there is only one church that God approves of, that is God ordained. where salvation actually exists. All others, then, by implication, must come from men. And lastly, the New Testament authorizes vocal singing, which comes from the heart. Ephesians 5:19, as well as a number of other places. As we search the pages of the New Testament that we live by, we search and we search and we search. The Bible is silent in our age about any other way of making music that is God approved. In other words, the Bible is silent about other acceptable means of making music in worship. There's simply no authority for it. Silence is golden. The world may not appreciate the silence of Scripture, but we of all people should in all that we do. When the Bible instructs us specifically, then we know we're following God's will. When we cannot go to the New Testament, the New Covenant, the covenant by which we live, and find where the Bible authorizes us to do something, then we should respect the silence of Scripture and not do it. Remember Uzzah. Should be a watch phrase for God's people. Remember Uzzah. The Bible, as I just mentioned, only affirms that there is just one way to be saved. To believe, to repent, to confess, and be baptized. That's the only way the Bible says one can be saved. So if we have not done that, if you have not done that, then you can know that you're not saved. We must remember Uzzah. Also, the Bible is very specific about those that have been immersed for the forgiveness of sins and those who have wandered away. They're no longer faithful. The Bible is very specific about how that one is to come back into a good relationship with God. That one needs to repent and pray and ask for forgiveness. Remember Uzzah. Remember the silence of Scripture. Those are phrases, those are words we all need to remember. And so today, if you need to respond to that gospel that's calling us, think about the words of this song that God is inviting you, Jesus is inviting you, encouraging you to make the proper response. And if you need to do so, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.